The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Seven nights at hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven nights at hell is.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Seven Nights at Hallis, episode 232. We are fresh off an actual Bears win. What was the final score? I know I turned it off after 30 to 12. Bears win. Their second win of the year. They're 2-5. You were at the game. Of course, you know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at Flo's Andy Lenny, at 79th and Hallis, at Barbershare Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. We got some big Patreon news tomorrow, and I'm not going to hold you, so tune in on that. If you are a Patreon subscriber, you listen to this on Sunday. If you are not a Patreon subscriber, you watching to this later on Monday. So we appreciate everybody who listens to this, man. But we are here fresh off of Bears win. Flo's there. I was not. I will be at SoFi this week for the Charger game. What was the vibe of in Soldier Field there? Because it felt real nonchalant. It felt like real dead and just Bears Twitter. Like usually Bears Twitter has a different vibe than it did today.
It wasn't dead. You know, it wasn't dead at all. It just was, I don't know. It's kind of like the team sucks, but I still want to root for them. But you know, there's nothing of value happening on the field for it to be loud. It's not like you're fighting for a playoff spot or I don't know, even just being first place in the division, a rival. None of that's happening, so you're not. I would expect it to be, you know, an exciting feeling. It's just a regular game, nothing crazy. That's really what came down to it.
All right. I don't know. I just feel like I'm at full apathy when it comes to this team. Like I felt no way about this win. I felt no way about if they were lost. I just didn't care. Like I saw like. I feel like my emotions were switching throughout the game. Like, oh, okay, well, they won the game. And like, oh, it might have been better if they lost the game because of the draft. And I'm like, also, fuck the draft because I don't want a new fucking quarterback. Like, yeah. So I just kind of how I felt throughout the game. So I'm kind of feel like, do you feel like it'll be – I kind of feel like it's going to be a weird victory Monday. Like, I feel like the fan base – and, like, on a usual Bears game, usual Bears Sunday, Bears Twitter is usually cracking. My phone is like, I usually have multiple chats going off at once with people talking about the game. I had none of that today. Like, none of the group chats were going off. Like, Bears Twitter really wasn't like the usual suspects in Bears Twitter really weren't really tweeting like that. It just felt like the energy was just like off and like they won and everybody was like, yay. Like, who gives a shit?
I don't know. It was fine for me. But God, please, Broncos, hold on to this dub. It just, I don't know. It was nothing impressive. So I just wasn't impressed with it. That's really just the biggest thing. And I don't think most fans were probably impressed with it. Probably was, it is what it is. You know, a win's a win. And you can't be too upset with it. But it wasn't like there was like a big amount of enjoyment. It just was, here for a game.
Do you care about the draft pick situation?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how much? Because, like, the Panthers are going to be ass regardless. Like, that's the thing I think people forget is, like, it doesn't really matter if the Bears win or not because the Panthers are going to lose regardless. So, it's like, even if the Bears won a couple games, like, they're pick five. Like, I feel like at the most, the fucking Panthers win is like a game or two. So it's like, I think at the absolute worst, their pick will be number two. And then, but that would even piss me off a little more, because it's like, if it's going to be number one, just be number one. You get Caleb Williams, we keep fucking walking. Like, we don't need to be getting Drake May, any of these other niggas over Justin. That would be just like, no, what the fuck are we doing? So, like, that's what I mean by I don't care about it, because I'm at the point now after watching the atrocity that I saw from all three of those quarterbacks this weekend. Like, Caleb was ass again. Drake May wasn't ass, but he had a god-awful interception towards the end that sealed the fucking game. Michael Penix Jr. had three turnovers. Them niggas didn't score offensive touchdown. I don't think they did. And it was just a bad week for the three quarterbacks that we were all talking about last week. Yeah. So I'm just kind of like, if we did have, like, let's just say the Bears had, like, pick two and three or some shit, mm-hmm. I'd rather keep Justin. You get Marvin Harrison Jr., you get that, you get Olu, let's call it the offensive lineman from Penn State,
mm-hmm.
and just do that. Like, everybody keeps talking about, well, they have to make a decision on Justin. No, they don't have to make a decision on Justin. That's a fifth-year option. But it's not like, you know, that he's not going to be, like, you know, he's automatically a free agent. There's a thing called the fucking franchise tag. You know what I'm saying? This is only Justin's third year. So, like, he's got two more years before you even have to use that. So, it's like, that doesn't have to be a decision made right now. So, I'm just at the point where I'd rather keep Justin. Maybe I'm being more of a Justin fan than I am being a realist. So, I don't know what that is.
I think realistically, the players that they probably pick up from the draft at quarterback would either be Caleb or Drake May. Like, I'm not going to lie to myself. I know those are the two. With Penix, I think that would be just a miscarriage of justice if you pick him up, because I don't think there's – as a player who took, he's 25. He took, like, 8 years in college for him to sort of find himself. I don't know if that's necessarily the best move for your.
I mean, I'm not really worried about him going that high. I just don't.
No. Well, I mean, he's a first rounder. He's a bona fide.
Yeah, he's a first rounder. He's not top two though.
No, I'm saying if the Bears somehow found themselves outside of that range, he would be in their wheelhouse to get. And with him, the main concern, of course, is his age, and is his path of development high enough that you want to, you know. I'm say waste, but spend a pick on him, and I don't think so.
I don't even think the Bears even look at him. Like, I feel like if they're not a top two pick, they're gonna go after, like, somebody else. I don't think that hell bent on getting Justin the fuck out of here that they would take, like, a Michael Penix Jr. Like,
I can't speak on polls and all of them, because I do not know. There's one thing is we should teach you Bears fans is that you do not know. You have no clue. What the Bears are doing. The people that you listen to on
fake ass insiders
do not know either. The Bears are very secretive, and I have no clue.
Move like the mafia.
You know, I have no clue what their plans are. But if the Bears are looking into someone, those are probably your three picks that you're going with. Maybe Bo Nix, but Bo Nix has the same problem that I had. The same thing I view as a problem is the age. It took you this long for you to become this QB, and it's not like you're showing outstandingly generational talent, and that in itself is a problem to me. So, and you're 25, but I don't know. The Bears in a weird position, but if it's not Caleb, I would assume a good GM would probably just look elsewhere. But if Caleb's there, you take Caleb.
I really don't. I really wish they weren't in this position again. Like, it's a fucking headache. Like, honestly, I would prefer they just get the number one pick and just sell that shit off of parts and build off the rest of the fucking team that needs to be fucking built. Like, I'm probably being a naive Justin Fields fan. I don't get why they're so hell bent. Well, actually, we don't know. Like you said, we don't know that the perception is that they're so hell bent on getting Justin out. When I don't, and I'm not giving Justin pay. I keep saying. I said this on Twitter yesterday. I flip-flop on Justin all the time. Sometimes he gives you the highs where it makes, oh, he can be great. Then he does stupid shit. Like, if there's anything that I'll give Tyson Badgett, and we're about to get to him in a minute, is he gets the ball out quick than a motherfucker. It's like his motor is much faster than Justin. It's like Justin, sometimes he don't know what the fuck he's doing. And so, like, that's something, too, where it's like you said, if Caleb's there, you get him, because let's just say you keep Justin, right? And you get the other side. What if he still asks?
Yeah.
Then you're in a real fucking predicament. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really think that you're taking a risk either way.
Yeah.
It's a major risk either way. And I just don't trust this organization to make the best decision from that.
I don't trust them to make the decision either. And yeah, you have to live with the fact that if you keep him and he's not good, then you're in a terrible situation. Especially if you have an upgraded team and they're good enough to not get a terrible pick. Like, you won't have Carolina's pick next year. You won't have anybody to supplement it. If you want to get a top pick again, you got to suck. And you won't have those things. And I don't really think the next QB class is even great anyway. So now you're in a really a shitty situation. So, I feel that. That being said, I feel like, okay, we look at first year, Justin. First year, rookie year. Yeah, it's fine. You saw some flash. Last year, you saw 6 games sustained run where the offense was just clicking. Running was great, as well as the passing was solid. And you say, okay, Justin has a deep ball. Justin has zip. And then, of course, injuries happen toward the end of the season, and then that ends it. But, you know, there's something there. This season starts out very slow. The ball's not coming out of his hands. He seems timid. Doesn't seem like he has a bit of decisiveness in him. Struggles with just like a quick screen because his release is so slow. Then, of course, you have 2 games before the last one where he's throwing 4 touchdowns a game. The ball's coming out. He looks decisive in his throws. Then, of course, he gets injured. And I feel like it's reasonable to still want to see what he has, because it's not like when did Mitch have his Pro Bowl year? Well, he was a Pro Bowl alternate. Second year,
2018.
It's not like Mitch with that the third season in the beginning. You're like, this isn't good. There's nothing here. It's like you don't have that.
And well, I officially gave up on Mitch at the end of the third year. Like that second, remember the last Packer game of 2019? Yeah. I was like, this nigga stinks. Like, get him out of my fucking face. Like,
yeah.
Like there were signs that he stinks. Yeah. But 2018 was in your second year for you to have 24 touchdowns. It was really 27 in general with the rushing touchdowns. Yeah, only 12 interceptions. Your team wins the division and you go to the playoffs. That's why everybody was so high on the 2019 Bears. It's like, okay, now hopefully he could take the next leap. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He regressed. And my first sign was, I think it was like week 4, and he only threw like 1 touchdown. And I was like, this is not good. Like, I was off of Nagy right away. But Mitch, I gave him a little bit more. But that second Packer game at the end of the year, and I was just like, this nigga stinks. So, like, the thing with Justin, like you said, the highs, like, I would have to say Mitch has better passing performance. Mitch has more better passing performances than Justin has had so far. I think that's fair to say. But I feel like Justin's highs have been way higher than Mitch. So it gets you hyped up.
Because he's much more explosive as a player.
Yeah, he's much more explosive. But what pisses you off about Justin, he'll do what he did in Washington. He'll do what he did against Denver. Then come out here like, yeah, he got hurt last week, but he was playing like shit before that. And that's in that game. Like, he wasn't good last week. So, like, he does shit like you think, oh, the ball's coming out quick. He's doing this. And the next week is like he regresses. So that's why I can't really be mad at I can't be mad at somebody who's completely off Justin. And I can't be mad at people who are 100% still backing Justin, because I'm on the fence with both. But I think the thing is, like, for the rest of the year, because as we know, I had this later in the show, but we just talked about now. Justin is – pretty much 3 people said they expect to only be a 2-3 week injury. I mean, Diana Rossini said it from ESPN. There was another guy from CBS. I forgot his name. He had like a real clickbait-ass headline to make it look like he was going to be out longer. But if you actually read the article, he pretty much said the same thing Diana Rossini said. And then Ian Rapoport said today that probably 2-3 injury, and they're aiming for him to come back against the Saints. So he'll probably miss the Chargers game this week. And honestly, if I want to be real about it, I wouldn't be shocked if he missed the Saints game, because that's a short week. I wouldn't be shocked they play him against Carolina.
You're going to love that picked off.
Saying the game?
Yep.
Fire. So, it wouldn't shock me if he missed the Charger game and the Saints game. Then he plays a Thursday night game and they give him 10 days off. That wouldn't shock me. Playing 2 games in 4 days with that thumb, I don't think they would do that. But either way, Justin's still going to have, at least 9 more games?
Yeah.
To show the front office something. One thing that's interesting is – Ryan Poles has been the last couple USC games.
Yeah.
So he's seen the mistakes that Caleb is making. You know what I'm saying? So I want to be very clear about Caleb before we actually move on to Tyson Badgett. I do not think he's trash. I do think he's a really good prospect. I think everybody is putting too much dip on their chip when it comes to this kid. And also, we got mad at him about the The ownership part, I gotta say fuck pro football for that one, because they pulled out an old article from July that I didn't know was an old article that they already got over before. And then his team said that's not what we were trying to do. That wasn't a new article. They brought some shit up from the summer.
Please come up.
Remember last week, the article that came out that said he wanted a piece of the team?
Oh, gotcha.
They rehashed the old article from the summer to get clicks. Yeah. So I think he's good. And if the Bear, if that Panthers pick, because I don't think the Bears are going to be bad enough. I think the Bears probably going to win about two, maybe three more games, if I've only been 100% real about it. I wouldn't be shocked if they win five games for the rest of the year. I think the Panthers pick is going to be bad enough to get the number one pick. So if Caleb Williams is there, I'm fine with getting Caleb as long as you have a good system. And don't believe the little bullshit on Twitter. About, well, it's 100%. The Bears looking at Jim Harbaugh. I wouldn't have no problem with Jim Harbaugh, but I don't think the Bears paying that nigga and giving that nigga control that he wants.
What? I would hate John Harbaugh.
Well, you're Ohio State fan.
No, man. I know what he did at Stanford. I know what he did with the 49ers to help provide them as an organization. But he's not a good coach. You know, maybe he was good in the past, but you realize that he's had 2 years, really 1 year last year, where they were contenders. And I think a good chunk of that is the fact that you got Corman running back, you got J.J. McCarthy at quarterback, who I like McCarthy. I can't even hate on McCarthy. McCarthy had to transfer to IMG that COVID year, and he balled out. But I don't think he's a good – I mean, he's a person who's been dominated by us for the majority of his career, and they were never a contender. I'm not gonna let 2 years of – really 1 year of, ooh, this team's good, to me to think, ooh, I want him as a coach now. That seems a little bit short-sighted. And I can attest to that because I've seen more games than most people
– Yeah.
Than most people have, because I'm a what you call it? Ohio State fan.
And by the way, it's hilarious that you don't tweet during games. Even when you weren't covering the Bears, you would tweet during Bears games. There's something about Ohio State that gives you more nervous than your actual
anxiety. NFL I can't team. Do it. Anxiety, I cannot do it.
That's because college football losses mean a lot more.
Yeah. And I can't explain why it does.
I get it, because if you lose one, you damn near cooked.
Yeah. That's really – wow, it's funny. That's so simple, but I never really realized that. Literally, you lose one game, that's
– you damn near cooked.
The season's probably over, and you're going to play in the Tostitos Bowl, and it won't matter anymore. You know what I'm saying? And so every game, you're like – and then when the big games come, like we face Notre Dame, we face Penn State, I was a nervous wreck. Whereas I'm watching the Bears. I go back to my when I wasn't covering them. They lost. I go, eh. You know, especially when they were good.
You would know better than me. I think yesterday's Ohio State-Penn State game was more great defense than it was bad offense. Granted, I came in the second half because it came on early as shit. But
Kyle McCord is not good.
You know, that nigga stinks.
He's not good. And he has to come off the fact that he's coming off four straight good Ohio State quarterbacks. He's coming off C.J. Stroud, who may be the best. He's coming off Justin Fields. Before that, he's coming off of Haskins? He's coming off Haskins.
Haskins, yeah.
Cardale, the JT Barrett. And so you're coming off of four of the maybe best, probably the best Ohio State quarterbacks ever. That's a tough thing to come behind.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we're wide receiver you, and it doesn't matter.
I didn't know that Terry McLaurin went to Ohio State.
Yeah.
I did not know Scary Terry went to Ohio State.
Come on, bro.
Really are wide receiver you.
Don't do it to yourself, brother. But we're home. We're home of the receivers.
Let's go on to actual Bears talk.
Terry was he there for the title? No. What? I can't remember. He was 83. But yeah, he was dope. Okay. What were you saying though?
Let's talk about Tyson Badgett. Tyson Badgett won 21 of 29, 162 yards, one touchdown.
He did win a national championship. Sorry. I just had to make sure.
He won a national championship. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was impressed with what I saw from Badgett. Like, and I think if I want to, I want to reiterate this. I said this on Twitter. I have no beef with Tyson Badgett. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good kid. I think it's a nice story. My problem is the coverage of him and people acting like they won this game because of him. No, you won this game because the defense has been playing well the last 3 weeks, and because Deonte Foreman, like I've been saying on this podcast,
Broncos win. All right.
Yeah, I know we said that, nigga.
Just making sure they had it was 4th and 9 with 6 seconds left, and rather than punt it, they just ran around and threw it in the air until the clock ran out.
But like I've been saying on this podcast since training camp, I said Deonte Foreman had a great camp and he should be the starting running back. I'm not moving off of that. He had almost 1,000 yards last year by himself in bum-ass Carolina. I think that Roschon Johnson is great, but he needs to learn how to not play CTE ball. The nigga has been out for like 3 weeks because he don't know how to play regular football. And Khalil Herbert, as explosive as he is not a main back. So that's why I say two-back system and use Roschon when you can use Roschon and then have him start next year. Deontay Foreman showed you the last 2 weeks, especially today, he is that type of guy. So that's why I probably have with the coverage. And we'll get to Foreman in a minute. But I thought Tyson did exactly what you want your backup quarterback to do. He came in there. He got the ball out quick. He got the ball to DJ Moore. 8 receptions for DJ Moore. Saw Darnell Mooney. Saw a lot of Tyler Scott. And the good thing about Tyler Scott and the Velas things is you can tell he's been working with them because he's the second string quarterback. You got to see what we got in those guys. That was good. He didn't turn the ball over. What's the number one thing you want for your backup quarterbacks? To not turn the ball over, get the ball to your back, and then make it simple. I liked what I saw from Tyson Badgett, and he was thankful, like his press conference.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Y'all, you would know, I wasn't there, but it sounded like it was good. I love how you like gave all the love to Justin and Nathan Peterman for helping them out with the game plan. I liked in the video they put in locker room, the whole team was so happy for him. Yeah. And, you know, and you can see that there's love in that quarterback room. I loved everything I saw from Tyson Bajan. I think he can hold the fort down while Justin is there. And what was the point of it? I don't want to go in on my fellow colleagues, but I don't know who the hell asked who is Justin your starting quarterback? What kind of fucking dumbass question is that? Like, yes, he's the starting quarterback. Like, what are we fucking doing?
They were in the back. They were back left of me. So I have no clue who that was. But even everybody, all of us kind of understood, like, that's not really a genuine question. Matt was like, yeah, Justin's our starting quarterback. Like, and I will go into my opinion of Tyler Badgett, and you can't hate on the kid. I thought he played the game. If he was a rookie quarterback first-round pick, you'd be like, wow, that's right. Great. Rookie first-round pick, D1 player, picked up by the Bears. You're like, man. Like, if that was Justin's first NFL game and he played that way, you said, wow, the Bears got something. And so I'm taking that perspective, and I'm putting it on him as an undrafted D2 player. And he played the game correctly. The ball came out of his hands quick, and he said that's what they emphasized all week, ball coming out of hands quick. In addition to that, he made some really, really great escapability plays. I love it. You know, get out the pocket, about to be sacked, and he found people constantly. And that's having an eye on who's your check down. Who is your check down? He probably only had one long pass, 15 yards, and it was to Tyler Scott. Well, that was the longest pass, and it was a nice pass. He threw it up.
I like Tyler Scott. Also, he's a cool kid too, so that's why I like about him, man.
I think he has a lot of usability. I think he's an improved version.
Yeah, we really some old niggas because they really are kids to us. But
they are kids to us. He's an improved version of Velus Jones, like a much improved version.
And I like Velus too. Like Velus a cool nigga, man. I've had
good conversations with him. I'm rooting for all of them, but you know he's had struggles. And maybe he'll get it done somewhere else. It's like
I also don't think they use him well enough. Use him more in a running back situation, man.
Oh, yeah. I do like him coming out the backfield. I do like him coming out the backfield. He just has a quick burst. He played the game correctly. He found the people when he realized and he knows the game of football. Like, as he said, I won the job my sophomore year in high school. I've started every game since. That's his career, like in terms of non-pro football. He's won ever since. He said, I've played a lot of games. He said, I've played thousands of games. I don't think you played thousands. You played a lot.
You played a lot of games.
That was football speak. You didn't play that many. Well, what he said, a million games, you play like 50. But you play a lot of games. And, well, he probably played more than 50. But I said it to say he has the experience and the know-how of coming in, being the guy, and learning offense. And it showed. And Getsy's system is the same system. He know, and it's easy when you're running a similar system. Yeah. And Justin would be a great quarterback if he fixed the operational issues. Getting the ball out quick is Justin's toughest issue. Tough. If he just went whoop whoop, like when
and is it just me or am I tweaking? But I kind of feel like even with Tyson, he gets his reads quicker. It's like Justin.
It's not a read. So a screen isn't a read. It's a throw.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just in general, like when he's seeing the field. I feel like his brain slows up a little bit. Maybe I'm tweaking.
Oh, I've never thought that of Justin. I thought Justin reads the feed well, but Justin had problem is. His first and second read seems to be the what he's focusing on most. And he gets to the third reads or the fourth read slowly. He goes bam, bam. And what it should be bam, bam here. You know, and that's operational. It's operational. He can read a defense. He knows what's happening. If you ask him what was the play, he knows it. He knows what the coverage was. He knows what is the coverage beater. The issue is that it's operational. And that's fixable. So I would rather you fix if Caleb's not there, I'd rather you fix it with him. That's my whole point. So we're back to Tyson. I liked it. He said, because they asked him, you know, because at first I asked Foose, I'm like, what was the reason bringing Nathan Peterman in there? I knew it was because of his arm, but I wanted him to say it. He said, well, Nate's got a big arm. Nathan Peterman can throw far. He said, Nate's got a big arm.
Yeah, he can throw far to other niggas.
In my head, I'm like, that's kind of telling a team that he can't throw far.
Yeah, that's the problem I had with it. Like,
and that being said, and there's not a lot of film on him, so you're giving them an advantage, which, you know, Bears always talk about gamemanship. And I would have said, I wouldn't have told him that. I would have just said, Tyson, throw it. And if it messed up, I'd have said, it slipped out of his fingers. I would have lied.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when you ask Tyson, he's like, I got a cannon.
I mean, what else are you supposed to say? I like his confidence.
I know if you say you watch tape on Tyson Badgett out of college, you are lying.
You're fucking lying.
So I'm going to check it out. What you call it? I'm going to see, can he throw far? But quite a few people who are covering camp with us said, at times it didn't look like he can go far. So I don't know. I don't know. But I will say I liked what I saw from him. And I love his mentality. And bear in mind, this is a kid. I think he has the NCAA all-time touchdown record.
Yeah, he do.
Like, he played 4 years of football. That's a long 4 years started. Most of the quarterbacks you see don't play that first year. Justin didn't play that first year. And in addition to that, they get good the sophomore year and the junior year. And then they leave the junior year. He started freshman year through senior every game. He was the guy. You can see the confidence in him. You can see the confidence in him. In addition to that, how old is Tyson? Is he 23 years old? He's a bit older. He's a bit older, at least for his position. What you call it? Justin, he's barely younger than Justin.
Barely. How old is Justin?
Justin's 24, recently 24.
Oh, man. He's some young ass niggas, man.
I know. But I said, Justin is, this is third year in the league.
35 this week, man.
This is Justin's third year in the league. This is his first year in the league. So he's coming in a little bit older than people.
Yeah.
So I like what I saw. I can't even hate it. And after the press conference, I was like,
I like the kid, man. I just don't like the cover.
I'm going to run through a wall. Like, you know,
yeah, I like him.
If it's one thing me and Scott have over other people who cover the Bears, is that we love this team. We weren't hired after covering another team in somewhere else. We love this team, but we also know how to be rational with the team.
I just want honesty, man. Like, people gotta like stop with the bullshit, man. Like, I've been sick to my stomach over this last week with the coverage of everything involving this. Like, it's just nasty work to me. It's disrespectful to the team, is disrespectful to Justin, and it's honestly disrespectful to Tyson. And I just feel like the shit has got to fucking stop. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. You expect that shit from fans, but I just need my fellow media. Let's do better, man. Like, let's do better than what we were doing, man. That's all I ask.
But you know, that's the thing with covering teams. Period. You have to, a certain amount of what you're doing is going to be for sensation, and I can't help hate them. And I don't know, dude, if they pick, you know, who sets the title of their articles, I'm pretty sure it would be the manager of their workroom and says, oh, this is a good title for it. Because I've seen plenty of clickbait headlines that featured great articles.
Well, a particular article you're talking about, I actually read the article and it was bullshit.
Yeah.
Before I reacted to it, I was like, let me read the article.
So I say that to say, man, it's not fair to him. And unfortunately, plenty of people who watch the Bears, who cover the Bears, who work for the Bears, don't know football. Yeah. And in addition to that, not knowing, and which is a shame that people within the Bears don't. In addition to that, they do not know how to be patient and let a player develop. It used to be common in the NFL to let players develop. It was the thing. Let the player develop. What, sit him down for a year or two and let him get under the veteran and he'll develop. It was common. To expect a player to come out and kill was unexpected.
And I think that's why we see so much bad quarterback play across the league, too.
Yeah, it's still the majority of players. It's still the majority of players that you need several years to be good. Your third year, you show an improvement. Your fourth year, you become who you are. And even the last few great quarterbacks in the NFL, it took in the last 20 years, it took all of them, but maybe one that I can think of to become a guy. Because Tom Brady, it took him, when did Tom Brady become Tom Brady?
Well, Tom Brady was a good quarterback. Tom Brady didn't become Tom Brady until like 2006.
Remember, become a QB?
His second year.
His second year is when did he go in for the injury?
His second year, his second season.
I thought it was his first.
No, that was the second season.
So he sits the season. It took Aaron Rodgers, 3 years? How many years behind for Favre, two?
Four. He was four. Aaron Rodgers got drafted after my freshman year of high school.
So 4 years behind Favre.
Yeah. Like, this how long, look, he got drafted when I was in high school. He didn't start till I was in college. That's how damn long he's behind Brett Favre.
Pat Mahomes is probably, he sat a year. His second year was ridiculous, but he sat a year.
I would say this is why it wasn't ridiculous, because they was winning. I mean, they were 12-5 that year.
That's true. And the only person I can think who came out the gate killing is Justin Herbert.
Burrow
was injured that 1 year.
I mean, he got injured towards the end of the year.
I thought he got injured towards the beginning.
No, he got injured towards the end. Burrow was cooking before he got hurt.
We'll double check that. No, you're correct, because he had 2,000 yards, so he had to have. But he wasn't cooking. He was cool. He was cool. Anyway.
How many touchdowns he had?
13-5.
He was pretty good before he got hurt.
That's solid. Yeah, that don't matter. You're like, you're
done. I did go high level. How many games was it?
That first year he played six.
13 touchdowns in six games is pretty goddamn good.
I mean, Justin has like 11-6, and we'll say that's solid.
So it's solid. But that's not his rookie year.
I'm just giving an example. It was solid. So, I'm sorry, I was looking wrong. That was 10 games. Six games was this year. It was 10 games. 10 games, 13 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 2,600 yards, 65% completion rate. That's cool. That's cool. Especially now I said 10 games. It's cool. So the last person I can think of is Justin Herbert. Before that was probably Russell Wilson. It don't happen often to say that, it don't happen often. For players to really become who they are, it's the fourth year. It's the third year. It's the fourth year. So,
okay. Well, let's talk about the game plan, man. Did you think there was anything different with Luke Getsy's
game plan?
They
ran the ball a lot.
They ran the ball a lot, and I think they did that because he's a rookie. Like, And one thing, Bears fans, man, we got to be honest with ourselves. I saw a lot of people like, why don't we do this when Justin's in? Let's be 100% real. If they'd have ran the ball as many times they ran they with Justin and Uncle, y'all would have losing y'all goddamn mind. Let him throw the ball. What are you doing? Let him throw the ball.
Yeah.
Like, is it Uchi Wally in one mind? You can't have it both ways, Bears fan. Like, that's why. But also, I think the number one change was I think they finally found an offensive line match that works. Like, Tevin and Darnell Wright are some dogs. Those, to me, are your two pillars to build this offensive line if Tevin can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is the thing. Darnell Wright has been so good that I don't lose sleep about Jalen Carter as much anymore. Now, would I prefer Jalen Carter? Still, 100%, yes. Jalen Carter could be defensive rookie of the year. He's having that good of a season. But Darnell Wright is a fucking dog. He's looking like he was doing really well on Max Crosby. Max Crosby is a fucking animal.
Yeah.
And he held him in check. Tevin, those are two guys that you build right there. So I think they finally found a good offensive line lineup, which helped a lot. But running the football against a 21st ranked defense against the run is was the story of this game. So I don't really think that Luke Getsy's play calling changed that much because he still has some bonehead shit. You know, he still had a couple questionable calls. I think what's different is that some of these screens, they worked more because Tyson got the ball out quicker and because the blocking was better.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And once again, it's operational. It's operational. Get the ball out. I remember in the preseason when Justin threw that screen pass that DJ Moore took to the house. It's a little off. Justin's release is very, whew, I got to go. You got to, it just, I don't know the physicality of the science behind it, but I wish there was a way for him to speed up his release. His release is a long wind. And plenty of quarterbacks have a long wind. I think Tom Brady had a long wind. But it would suit him if he had a way to just get that ball out. It seems like a sidearm is his best thing. Sidearm it more. Do whatever you can to get the ball out quickly. And it just, literally, those type of the bubble screen, air route, it's just boop, boop, throw. Not boop, let me set. No, bam, off balance. Bam, off balance. Bam, off balance. And Justin's thing is operationally. If he had done operationally this year, he would have had several great games and we wouldn't even be talking about this. He'd be like, oh, Tyler Badger's coming. All right, he'll hold the fort down. Rather than who is there a controversy? So
right, like if Justin was showing out, we'd be really, 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 really happy with Tyson Badger.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh man, this kid, you know, it wouldn't be a thing. Yeah. And you know, once again, it's not likely, it's not, you know, the criticism I have is not toward Tyson because he did his thing. It's just the way we cover it. It's nasty. You know, it's a little bit of racism mixed in with this unfortunate toxic habit with being a Bears writer and a fan that, oh, let's look to the next guy. Let's look to the next guy. The next guy's going to be good. I'm like, you've done that so often. People mentioned that Craig Krenzel. I remember Craig Krenzel coming. I thought, did he win his first three games?
Remember the Brian Greasy 97-yard drive on the Eagles, nigga?
Nigga, this is before Brian Greasy. This is,
I know that, yeah.
This is 2004, and I was like, man, you know, and he was a Buckeye. I'm like, oh, he's the guy. He's the truth. And I should have learned my lesson then. Because we can go Brian Greasy, we can go McCown, we can go Orton, we can go so many people.
The legendary Hall of Fame run of Josh McCown in 2013.
He had a run though. I ain't gonna lie, he didn't have a run. He
cooked for about 4 weeks.
He was for them 4 weeks, he was a guy.
Yeah.
But you know, logic will say he's been in the league a long time. I'm familiar with your game. So you know, this is unfortunately what happens, and Bears fans have to overcome that and just look at things realistically. That's not to say in the realm of possibility that it's not possible. Of course it is. Look at Brock Purdy. So completely like you had no clue that he was going to be who he is. You look now, you're like, wow, he is a solid quarterback who makes good decisions, keeps the ball out of harm's way, and when you need him to make a play, he makes a play. Now, of course, in the realm of logic and possibility, is it possible that Tyson do that? Sure. But it's also possible for me to become a billionaire. Is it going to happen? No. It's possible, but not probable. That being said, I want him to hold the fort down. And next week, he has to go against a better team. The Chargers. Chargers still tweak. But Chargers have a very solid defensive line.
They got a solid defensive line, but that's going to be a close game. That offense stinks, man.
Which is just, it's malpractice that offense
it really is.
You have so much talent, you should not be struggling.
Yeah.
I don't know how Staley's still there.
And Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore came from Dallas and stinking to join up.
He just got that, all right?
Yeah, but it's like, what the fuck? I think that tells you that Mike McCarthy was playing them calls, calling them plays. Or maybe Staley don't get that nigga the leash like he should.
Or he is a coordinator too, who doesn't tailor his game around your players.
That could be it, too. So I think the
toughest thing about being a coordinator is tailoring your game around your players. Too often as fans see, oh, man, he's just better. He can run an offense. It's also the offense that you have. If you ran nothing but spread in college and then you ran spread in the NFL, you're going to do better. If you ran pro style, if you ran spread and you're running completely pro style in the NFL, you're going to struggle. That's why you say, you know what, let me tailor it. Okay, this quarterback, Caleb Williams, just runs complete spread. I don't think I've ever seen him under center. Yeah. So if I'm a coach, I'm going to say, remember most colleges still run spread.
Yeah,
they don't run pro under center. That's a rarity. But but some teams just strictly run that and do not run under center. So if I'm a offensive coordinator, I'm realizing, okay, the majority of these plays need to start from the shotgun. That's just the truth. We'll teach him how to work on his dropbacks so the majority needs to start from the shotgun. Because that's a good thing. Okay, what's his biggest skill? His biggest skill are one readers with the Once the defense has respected that, he can do a longer read. I'm going to tailor what I'm doing around it. And often offensive coordinators don't.
I agree with that, man. Our last topic, man, let's talk about this Bears defense. The last three games, they've been playing really, really well, played well in Washington, played well last week against the Niners. Only held the Niners 19 points last week, and did even really, really well.
Shout out to my man Tyson Bajan with the hat cocked to the right, brother. I got to – he may be the truth. He may be right, the truth.
And then today they did well against the Raiders. I mean, this defense, I feel like – since Freaky Allen has been out of the building, it's gotten much better. I mean, outside of the collapse against the Broncos, I think they've been solid. And even that wasn't 100% on the defense. The offense was tweaking too in that game.
Yeah.
So they can't take fully the blame for that. But they've been really good. They're still not really getting the pressure they're going to get. And I don't think that's going to change just because you don't have the personnel to really get the pressure like that. But they've still gotten a couple sacks in each of the last couple games. Justin Jones got sacked today. And then also we're seeing a healthy secondary for the first time. Kyler Gordon's really been playing well. Jaquan always plays well. Jalen Johnson had two picks today. He came into this game only one career pick.
It's tough, man. He only had one career pick. I'm like, the game of football, especially the defensive back spot, is not revolving around interceptions. Remember, to be a great – there are very few players who are like Deion who can cover you well.
And Deion couldn't tackle.
And who can pick you off well. Like, in order to be like Asante Samuel was a solid – cover cornerback. But he knew how to jump them routes. That was his thing. He jumped routes. He knows, okay, this is a player's tendency. And that takes a level of intelligence. It does. But it also takes a level of risk because he'll jump and get burned. Whereas Deion could do all. That's a rarity. And so that's not Jalen's thing. Jalen is, I'm going to stick with the person I am. I'm going to smother them. And if I get a pick, I get a pick. So,
I mean, we saw him. I mean, the dude who number he wearing. Peanut was a turnover specialist. Couldn't cover for shit.
No.
But he was a turnover specialist. And so Jalen is the opposite side of that. Where I feel like, first of all, I'm glad they said they're not trading him. Like, after a while, man, I hate when fans talk about resetting the salary cap. Like, fuck that shit, nigga. You're the Chicago Bears, bro. You're going to make enough money to pay, nigga. At the end of the day, you have to start paying some of your guys. You paid Cole Kmet, who I don't know where that nigga was today. He wasn't at the game. You know, you pay Cole Kmet. You know, you got to start paying some homegrown guys. Give Jalen his bread. And so my question, do you think that Jalen Johnson is better than he gets a credit for? Like, I think that you could argue, might be hot take, that he's a top 10 corner. He's bottom 10, but I think he's in the 8 to 10 area.
I think so, too. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. I think he's a very solid cover corner technique-wise. You don't see many games where people are just getting up over him. And when you need a big down and you need him to smother a top player, he does that. Needs to be following the player wherever they go, which not every team does that, but
If anything, Flus should land somewhere as a defensive coordinator because
I love the diversity, the stunting, the overloading. I love what he's done with the defensive line because – that defensive line, I think the only person I probably went back is probably Ngakoue. I like Pickens and Dexter for depth. I think they'll be fine depth pieces. Walker, I'm whatever on him. So you need to shell out.
Walker's just a guy. What was I said when he got signed? Like, I didn't know who that nigga was when he got signed.
It's depth. So, you know, Ngakoue's probably the only person I'd start. Everybody else needs to be, you need to take out the whole line. So that's 90% of that line. So you get that right. I think the Bears will be even better defense. Linebacker position is solid. Sanborn is great at outside. Edwards is great at outside. TJ, Tremaine Edmonds is great at the interior. You know what the defensive backs do. And even with freaking Eddie Jackson out, who was coming in for him?
Was it Blackman?
I don't remember who it was today. He did
Blackman or Strowman, whatever one.
So, I think this defense shows you that it's not as much that you need to tear down. It's just you need to make some tweaks.
I want to be wrong, but I think Eddie's cooked. I think Eddie's cooked. Like that, it's the same foot that's bothering him. So like I think Eddie's cooked, but you have a good secondary, man. So there's two good games going tonight, Sunday Night Football and Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. So we're gonna wrap this shit up. Next week, the Bears will be in Los Angeles. Sunday Night Football, that game did not get flexed. So it will be Sunday Night Football next week. I thought I could do a double head, like, oh, I can go see Wimby at the Staples Center play the Clippers, but it's not gonna happen. It's the same fucking time. But I will be at SoFi Stadium next week, covering that game. So of course we'll have coverage from there. And then you know, Joe will have the remaining games. I will be back for the Vikings Monday Night Football game. Then I'll pretty much be going through the rest of the season with y'all. So
Look, what's next? Because you have Bears, Chargers, you do that. Saints, none of us are going to do that.
Yeah.
Panthers, I'm here. Lions, Vikings, Bears, Browns. But yeah, so yeah, the rest of them.
Yeah.
So. I'm just not. When is their bye week? After the Panthers?
Their bye week is the week of December. It's first weekend in December.
No, their bye. Right. Because the Panthers game. Right.
Yeah. I will be in New York City doing a bye week. I'm going to the Book of Hope exhibit in Brooklyn. So so that's all we got for y'all, man. Shout out to Patreon subscribers, you hearing this today. For everybody who listens on the free feed, we appreciate you too. It comes on, you know, our latest on Monday. We'll be making a big announcement on I'm Not Gonna Hold You tomorrow/today about that. So we got some big news for the Patreon subscribers. I will be sending y'all individual videos about the announcement too, if you don't catch the show. So got a lot of stuff on there. So follow us on Twitter at BarbChairScott, at Flows and Delini, at 79th and Hallis, at BarbersChairNet. And we gonna get up out of here. Y'all have a good week and a good Victory Monday. 79th and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.